serving, there's no reason why not to. So this is the next chapter of my life for community service. I've operated under an oath since I was 18 years of age, so I enjoy serving.
Tell people your background if they're not familiar with you, Ed.
Well, I was born and raised here in Macon County, Decatur, Macon County, with Decatur Schools and high school in Mount Zion. Left from 86 to 90 for the Marine Corps, active duty on the West Coast. I came back in 90, hired on the Sheriff's Office. Left in 91 for a short stint for Desert Storm and been back ever since. Retired from the Sheriff's Office, went to Decatur Park Police as their Chief of Police, leaving 2018. And I'm currently the Director of Training now at the Academy here south of Decatur.
That's awesome.
I love serving this community. It's a wonderful community, and I have many, many great memories. And I want to pass that on to other people and have them enjoy the town just as much.
What are some of the issues that you would like to see taken care of by the council if you get elected?
Well, honestly, COVID has just really strapped everybody. And you hear so much negative. And we need to put some more positive back in our news feeds. What I mean by that is doing things around the community that is bringing us back from COVID, bringing us back from revenue loss, population loss. I want a young couple, honestly, to drive around with a realtor one day and think, man, this is where I want to raise my family.
Yeah,
that's what I want to get back to.
That's great. One of the issues that's been a big deal over recent years is neighborhood revitalization. Right. Obviously, that takes some money, too, obviously. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think we should develop a 5 to 10 year plan working with these neighborhood groups. We've got some great groups out there, Old King's Orchard, Milliken Heights, so forth. And I really think we need to have a good 5 to 10 year plan where we make it fiscally available, working in our budget with these organizations, and tackle projects each year and just make it, instead of living year to year, trying to make budget, we should have a good fiscal plan for the next 5 to 10 years.
Looking at the infrastructure of the city of Decatur, I know a couple of weeks ago at a council meeting, you know, basically it was nothing but talk about sewers. But these are also vital projects that have not been attended to for a lot of years, in decades, in a lot of cases. You know, as far as the infrastructure of the city of Decatur, what are your thoughts on that and how we can improve that?
Infrastructure is very important, especially to any type of growth. And I'm all about growth. I want to bring businesses back, families back, and we've got to have the infrastructure to sustain that. And thinking outside the box, too, Lake Decatur is much more than a water resource. It's a sense of quality of life. I think we should continue improving down there as well and bring back some business along the lakefront. But you also got to take care of your infrastructure. You cannot sustain growth if you don't have the proper infrastructure. And that definitely needs to be part of the 5 and 10 year plan.
Yes, sewers are not sexy, are they?
No, they are not. That's the necessary evil.
Yeah,
but they are a vital part of the
yeah.
community.
They better work.
Yeah, exactly.
that's the number one phone call you make when they don't work.
Yeah, that's right. Especially like after yesterday and those heavy rains. Yeah. All right. So one of the other things, we had a candidate on here. I think it was last week or something, and this guy. He wants to have like a citizens board or some kind of community board over the police department. And it just strikes me as being kind of, you know, trying to micromanage a police department from a standpoint of a bunch of people that wouldn't be qualified. What should we do with the police department or anything? Should we leave it the way it is? Should we make some changes? And I'm talking about, of course, the Decatur City Police.
Sure. And there's no hiding it. I'm a public safety guy. That's my wheelhouse. But we've been really fortunate here in Central Illinois, specifically Decatur, Macon County, for great leadership within our loyal law enforcement. Why fix it if it's not broke? That may be a matter of opinion, but they do a wonderful job day in, day out. And if the chief wants to come to the council about an advisory board, hey, that's fine. We can look at that as well. But when you start putting civilians into policing, you're going to lose out on the policing. You know, they're not trained. They don't see what the officers see on a 24/7 daily basis. And I just don't think it's fair. It's like me walking into a plumbing company and telling them how they're going to plumb a house. I mean, it's just not their area of expertise. Should there be oversight? Absolutely. And the first thing is, if there are any issues at all, they are very transparent down there. They look into things and they take care of things quickly.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, and this isn't so much a city council issue, but The governor signed that police reform bill. Sometimes it gets called a crime reform bill, but it was some kind of police reform bill, and I'm not sure reform is the correct word either. But he's really, from what I'm hearing from police officers around here, put them in a bad spot in the sense that, you know, the liability would basically fall on individual officers. How can I afford to be a police officer if, you know, the liability falls on me versus the city or something like that? Yeah. Any thoughts on the governor's signing that bill?
Well, yes, many thoughts. I don't think we have enough time today.
Again, family show.
It is.
Right.
Just to touch on it, once again, going back to your oversight council, you could tell that the people that made up this almost 700-page bill had no law enforcement involvement in writing this bill. They were taken away from safe tactical procedures, away from the officers, and creating a problem for us. As far as qualified immunity,
Yes, that was the word I was looking for, qualified immunity.
Qualified immunity, that's tough. I mean, they operate under color of law. They operate under policies and procedures. They do very well, but yet you want to hold an individual officer accountable when they operated under that policy or procedure or color of law. You're going to have a tough time recruiting. You're going to have a tough – nobody would want to come in this career, but the true dedicated community service-minded people are still going to be police officers. But it's just a tough time, and the worst part is I wish the state would have had law enforcement involvement and made a coalition of workforce to make this bill instead of just being one-sided civilians only.
Well, you know, when you're passing legislation at 3 a.m., it gets a little foggy, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was a little suspicious passing it through during that session.
Yeah, lame duck session, yeah.
Oh, it was horrible.
And the guys that voted for it, most of them aren't even back. So anyway, just craziness.
No, not at all. I'm very shocked on what just occurred. Very hurtful in the 30 years I've been in law enforcement.
Well, let's talk about working with other units of government. Obviously, the city of Decatur, you know, they're big and they can do pretty much what they want, but is it important to work with other units of government, whether it be the park district, school district, and those other units?
Well, I think it's key, to be honest with you, sir. It is key to work with these other forms of government, put egos aside, because each form of government looks at quality of life for our residents, and we need to make it more of a teamwork type approach. And honestly, one of my biggest projects I'd like to look at is the lake. And the lake, we need the park district to be on board. The general conversations I've heard with them already, they're all, you know, all for it. So just like Richmond Board of Trustees, wonderful people out there as well, and they are also looking at quality of life. So I think if we work together, I think we're going to be very, very successful, and I look forward to meeting with them.
One of the things that I've heard thrown out from some other candidates is that some of them feel like there's a lack of representation of all of the citizens of the community. There may be certain sections that are represented more than others. What is your take on that? I mean, obviously, you want to serve the entire city.
Sure. You know, I've heard about the alderman style of government. I believe it's functional now the way it is. For a candidate like myself, I can honestly say I'm familiar with every neighborhood community profile in this community. Can I say that for others? Not so much. But I do understand their point. But if you're truly going to run for city council, you need to have knowledge of each and every area of our community and be able to represent each and every area. And I think that's very key to that. And I think the citizens should really look into how educated are the candidates in their particular living area. What do they see when they're walking out the door of their house?
We are talking to City Council candidate Ed Culp. And Ed, one of the other issues that's come up with a couple of the candidates, they won't call it a marijuana distribution facility. They're going to call it a cash crop. When I hear cash crop, I'm thinking corn and soybeans. But marijuana distribution for recreational marijuana, I'm not talking medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, became legal a year ago. Do you think Decatur should be involved in that, or is that something we should wait and see?
Once again, that's another state move I didn't quite agree with. You know, private sales are always going to beat out any other sales, and I don't support recreational marijuana at this time. Not that I may not be open-minded to it later, but this time I'm a firm no on that.
Their argument is, oh, it'll bring in all this money. Is that a viable issue, or should we just wait again?
You know, know, once again, I think the state and the communities are still having a problem figuring out the percentage of what the communities actually get, number one. And number two is, you know, we can't keep trading our morals for you know, tax money. There's other ways around it. We can bring back growth, bring back families. We don't need a dispensary to make our budget balance. Yeah.
Morals. Gee, I guess you're not going to let me put gambling machines in my basement, huh?
You know what? We got enough of them already. You might as well.
I can't wait to tell Julie. Doug's Ed Culp gave me the thumbs up on a video gaming in the basement. We'll be running it 24/7, 7 days a week.
Boy.
Yeah.
I say every time you turn a corner, there's a new one. I'm like, oh, great, wonderful.
Right, right. I saw you out at the Knights of Columbus Hall on Saturday, and I'm sure you met a lot of people and got to talk to them.
I did. Wonderful people, and I enjoy engaging with the community. And it's fun to be out there again trying to do good for the community. I've missed that, whether it's working a shift on the street or actually sitting down with a group, like you said, the Park District or other boards, and figure out what can we do to make this area better. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
What is the big issue people are talking to you about? Like when you were out at the Knights of Columbus Hall, other than the corned beef, was there anything in particular they were talking to you about?
You know, I think people are just frustrated over COVID, and I'll never second guess what the board did or the council did, because it's unprecedented times. They're trying to do the best thing for them. But I hear a lot that they just wish they would have had more input from the city manager. They kept seeing the mayor doing these releases and talks and everything else, and I just wish the city manager was more engaged. They're asking, like, where is he?
Right.
So that's a good question. I hope to clear that up, hopefully.
All right. Well, remind everybody when the election is, and then also give one more pitch on why you should be elected.
April 6th is the general election. Early voting has already started. Please go down, especially on a nice day like today. Get down there and get done. That took me like 3 minutes to do it. So get down there. And if you want a positive person on the council that is thinking about everybody in the future of Decatur, just not that particular year, please vote for me. We can make this community great again. And now don't make ball caps because of it. Don't do that.
But I can see the little red Ed Culp hats now.
Yeah, I know. I said that. I'm like, really? Did you just say that?
Did you just say that?
it is a wonderful community. I have many great memories, and I'm hoping I can provide the same for many other folks.
All right. Ed Culp running for Decatur City Council April 6th, right? Or now, you can vote now even, but
absolutely.
But April 6th is the last time. And again, Ed, thanks for putting up with us, and you'll never talk to us again if you're smart.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
All right, Ed, thank you. You have a nice day, sir. Thank you. Again, Ed Culp, running
City
for Council.
City Council candidate Ed Culp on a Friday morning.
We've been having all the City Council candidates and school board candidates.
Yes.
We'll work them all in by April.
Between now and April 6th. Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously the advertising will be kicking in soon.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll be here before we know it.
Sure.
And let's hope we have a hell of a lot better turnout than we did last go around.
Oh, for the primary. Yeah, but again, it was a primary, and the only thing on the ballot was the City Council.
City Council.
But, of course, what are the most important elections that affect your pocketbook on an annual basis? These local municipal elections. Every time.
Right. And these are the ones that people complain about
right.
all the time, always constantly griping on social media. Mm-hmm. Well, did you get out and vote in the primary? Well, no.
Or the one I love. It's so bad, I'm not going to vote.
Oh, yeah, that
come
makes
on,
a
you
hell
moron.
Of a lot. That makes a hell
right,
of a lot
right.
of sense, right?
But anyway, Ed gave us some good thoughts to think about.
Yeah.
So
it's been interesting hearing from all the different candidates.
It is.
And we'll continue to, you know, bring them on and, right. and talk to them. And, you know, and we've, like you said, we've got school board coming up, too. And so, yeah, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. 7:21. We're going to take a quick time out. It is Bus Boom and Wolf on Talk 101 FM on a Friday morning. Jeff Daly sitting in for the vacationing Scott Bus Boom. He will be back on Monday, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, my name is Patrick Mundy, and I am a CASA volunteer advocate. On Tuesday, March 30th, from 6 to 8 p.m., CASA will be hosting its CASA Quarterback Virtual Spring Draft, where there will be prizes for the players who show the most team spirit and have the most trivia knowledge. You are invited to join us from the comfort of your easy chair to hear from CASA staff and volunteers about the abundant number of foster kids in Macon County and the need for positive male role models in their lives. Come find out why I feel being a CASA volunteer advocate is a good use of my time. Just suit up and show up to learn how you can help challenge the bad calls in the lives of foster children. Call 217-619-6002. That's 217-619-6002, or email us at program@MaconCountyCASA.org for details on how you can join.
Here's a look at what's happening about town. The Decatur Family YMCA, along with the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, will be hosting a blood drive on Tuesday, March 30th at the Decatur Family YMCA from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Appointments are required to donate blood for this blood drive. To donate, call 217-367-2202. The Decatur Family YMCA is located at 220 West McKinley Avenue in Decatur. And that's a look at what's happening about town.
Three great ways to listen online at DecaturRadio.com. On your mobile device using the DecaturRadio.com app or by tuning your radio to 100.9 FM. Now let's get back to the conversation. Here's Scott and Doug.
Talk 101 FM. We've got news coming up in just a little bit. Stick around for that. And, of course, we also will still be visiting with the folks from the Macon County Health Department here in just a little bit.